Country Pop FM.
Hi, everybody. Neil, give us an update. You just looked outside the front door here at the Bob Studios. How's it looking?
It's a winter wonderland. It's a blizzard right now. It's ridiculously dumb.
It is a blizzard. I don't know if meteorologically it's technically a blizzard. It looks like one, though.
It's snowing very hard.
It is. Big flakes?
Yep.
Nice. All right, let's get into it here today. Thursday, April 14th. My thing says the 10th day of the year. Now, that's not right.
That is not right.
It must be so...
Maybe 110.
Yes. Well, no, because Monday was 101. Oh. 2, 3, so 104th.
All right.
261 days until the end of the year. First edition of Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language was published on this day. And we keep adding words.
Sure.
Every year they'll give us a list of 5, 6, 7, 8, maybe more words that they're adding.
Yep.
Ones that are becoming used, becoming part of the vernacular. Do they ever remove words? That's a good question. Question I'd like to know if they ever remove words from the dictionary.
I would say words? Once it's a word, it's a word.
I would say too, because then you can use it.
Yeah.
That's right. So that, and when they add words, that means, does the font just get smaller? Do they add pages? So the dictionary is getting thicker and thicker. It's already very thick.
Right.
It's really hard to carry around. Did you get a free dictionary when you enrolled at Brown Institute? That was one of the big deals.
I think we did.
You cut a big check and they go, oh, here's your dictionary. We don't think that you're very good at the English language.
Right.
You know, find some synonyms, would you? 1828. 1865. This was the date. President Lincoln. When they went up and asked Mrs. Lincoln, other than this, how was the play? President Abraham Lincoln shot by John Wilkes Booth at the Ford Theater on this date, 1865. I'd have to say that's lax security.
Yep.
I guess we didn't care that much about our president's security.
Well.
Did Mary Todd Lincoln ever say if she liked the play or not?
I don't know what the reviews were. It's kind of...
So I just saw a tweet here. What was in Lincoln's pocket when he was shot this date, 1865, at Ford's Theater? He has a handkerchief, two pairs of spectacles. Two, Neil.
Ooh.
Who carries around two pairs of spectacles? A lens polisher, a pocket knife, a watch fob. Fobs were a thing even in the 1860s, Neil.
Oh, sure.
A linen handkerchief, mentioned that. Brown leather wallet. And in that wallet was a $5 Confederate bill.
Huh?
$5 Confederate bill. And then some other newspaper clippings. And those were not shown to the public for 111 years until 1976.
Whoa,
they finally put them on display.
Huh.
So that was the state, 1865. And, of course, the plot to kill Lincoln, he eventually died the next day.
Right. It included, yes.
Yeah, there was a bigger plot here. They were going to try and knock out a number of people in his administration and in the cabinet as well.
Yeah. Vice president.
It was quite a conspiracy.
Yes.
1865. We're going to go to 1902. Happy birthday here today to J.C. Penney. Where's my J.C. Penney? There it is.
You're looking smarter than ever, J.C. Penney.
Kudos to J.C. Penney. They were born on this date 120 years ago, 1902, and they're hanging in there, Neil. J.C. Penney's hanging in there.
There.
You know, their main competitors were Sears and Ward's, and they have both gone bye-bye. But J.C. Penney's finding a way to survive somehow, some way.
Yeah.
Good for
them. There's fewer of them, but they are still out there.
The first one was called the Golden Rule Store for James Cash Penney. Kemmerer, Wyoming is where it started.
Okay.
Some of our biggest retail giants have started in the strangest places.
Mm-hmm.
Walmart started in Arkansas.
Right.
J.C. Penney, Kemmerer, Wyoming. Target started here.
Kmart in Michigan.
Think about that.
I think so.
None of them in New York or California, Chicago,
no.
Any of those things.
No. I guess Macy's, maybe.
1910, U.S. President William Howard Taft. The first ever president to throw out the first pitch on opening day.
Yeah.
Started a tradition.
Bill had a heck of an arm.
Did Biden go anywhere? I didn't see any coverage. I don't know if he's... Be afraid of his arm falling off?
Yeah. He had rotator issues.
Rotator cuff issues. Yeah. So William Howard Taft, and he did throw a cut fastball.
Right.
Opening day. I believe it was probably at the Senators game, right?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Just a bit outside.
2 years later.
Is there anyone there?
Yes, what do you see?
Iceberg, right ahead!
Thank you.
And they could not avoid that iceberg. Unfortunately, the unsinkable ship RMS Titanic struck an iceberg. Atlantic Ocean began sinking on its way to New York. A fabled event on this date. There were survivors. Not everybody perished, Neil.
No, no.
Think about that.
But it was 1,800 or something died.
You said goodbye.
Fats Domino's Ain't That a Shame, released on this date, 1955. I don't think Fats Domino gets nearly enough credit for being the hit maker that he was. I mean, that Blueberry Hill song.
You broke.
Much as Richie Cunningham liked playing it and singing it,
right.
Fats Domino was outstanding. 1969, let's go to Montreal.
Jaster's a left-hander with pretty good speed and a good curveball, and occasionally throws the slider. Low outside, and the first pitch in Major League Baseball league game in Canada is a ball.
First game in Montreal this day at Jerry Park, which was a glorified minor league park. They wouldn't open the Olympic Stadium until later on. They played like 6 or 7 years that old rickety minor league ballpark before they moved into Olympic Stadium, which wasn't a great stadium for baseball.
Not. Nope.
But the Montreal Expos, for the first time, baseball in Canada, 1969. Mm-hmm. There are no Expos. We keep hearing these rumors about a team maybe moving to Montreal. Like the Oakland A's or one of these teams that are having trouble. Montreal trying to get a baseball team back, Neil.
Right, but nothing yet.
You know who the manager was of that first Expos club?
I should.
The little general, Gene Mock.
Oh, it was? Okay, that's right.
Gene Mock. Before he was with the Twins.
Before he was with the Twins,
yeah, exactly. Let's remember Burl Ives.
Their brands were still on fire, and their hooves were made of steel.
Whoa, didn't know he did this.
You know, the Rankin and Bass people, they're the people that did that stop animation, all those Christmas specials, the stop animation, the Rudolph and the Santa Claus coming to town. They thought, there's no way you can put a goatee on a snowman and make people believe it. They didn't want to do it, but the people that were in charge of it said, yes, we will, yes, we will. The network said no. Where'd we be without it? Right?
Well, it wouldn't have worked. I mean, they needed to have it.
Burl Ives was the first one ever to record Riders in the Sky, and there he is, Burl Ives. 1995, everybody's favorite talking and banjo playing.
It's Ghost Riders in the Sky, yes.
No, it's just Riders in the Sky.
Oh, is that what it is?
No, it's Ghost is in the Ghost is in parentheses, but not even on this album, though.
Oh,
when
it's
it was
not.
First recorded, it's just Riders in the Sky.
Okay.
And Burl Ives recording it. I've got the actual record, the picture of the record label right here, Neil.
Nice.
So, yeah. I mean, everybody's favorite goatee-wearing, banjo-playing snowman. It's Burl Ives. He passed away. He was 85 on this date back in 95, 99.
Autopsy says Tammy was also taking heavy-duty painkillers that weren't reported.
The question is, did these painkillers play a fatal role in her death?
I think she had too much medication in her system and it made her quit breathing.
Did Tammy Wynette really die of heart failure, or was it something more sinister? You'll have to watch Autopsy to find out.
Ever watch that Autopsy on the Reels channel, Neil?
Mm-hmm.
It's really good. I just watched one on, what's his name, Arnold from Different Strokes.
Welcome. Oh, okay.
Arnold. Yeah, you know, what you talking about, Willis?
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah, I just, there was, did you know that he had, and I can't even think of his name right now. I can think of Todd Bridges, I can think of Dana Plato, I can think of Conrad Bain. I can think of Charlotte Ray. I can think of everybody other's name on that show, but I can't think of the little guy.
Gary Coleman?
Gary Coleman. There we go. Thank you. Yes. I'm glad you're here.
Right.
Because you wouldn't have been able to get any of the others. That's the only one you know.
That's the
Maybe
only one I know.
Maybe that's why I didn't know it, because I knew you would know it.
That's right.
But apparently he had severe kidney issues when he was young.
Oh.
And it stunted his growth. One, because of the kidney issues, and two, because of the medicine he took. It stunted his growth and puffed his cheeks out. That's why he looked the way that he did.
Well, there you go.
Gary
I had
Coleman.
No idea.
According to the Reels channel and the autopsy there. They're trying to find out what killed him. But anyway, Tammy Wynette's body was exhumed on this date. It's really kind of sad. She could not die in peace.
It
and
is.
She probably shouldn't have died. She was having health issues, but she was on a lot of medication, and there was maybe some malfeasance there, Neil.
And there was insurance problems, and the family was fighting. And
then their kids, the kids were out of the will.
Oh, my gosh.
1999. Oh, another great musical person died on this date.
Tiny bubble.
Wow.
Two of the great ukulele players featured this week on the Bob
Make
Almanac.
Make me happy.
Tiny Tim the other day, and now Don Ho. Boy, I tell you what, when the Brady Bunch wanted to really up their ratings, they doubled their ratings when they were in Hawaii. They brought Don Ho on. Don Ho made an appearance on an episode of the Brady Bunch. Huge success. Why they didn't bring him back, I don't know. They brought Cousin Oliver instead. That was a mistake.
So Don when did Ho, Don Ho die?
2007, this date. He was 76 years old. And then in the news in 08.
Delta Airlines is set to become the world's biggest carrier, taking over Northwest Airlines. The deal was struck Monday evening. Directors from both companies have approved the takeover by Delta. But there's a catch. Pilots' unions for the carriers haven't been happy with the idea of the merger. The contract sticking points were related to seniority issues, as that affects who flies.
So Minnesota lost a little bit of itself on this date in 2008. We were proud to be the home of Northwest Airlines.
Sure.
And Mesaba Airlines, Airlink Northwest, the whole deal. And
yep.
Delta swallowed them up here on this date. I'm just glad they brought over the tradition of the Biscoff cookies.
Yes, that was a good play.
Although one of my flights recently, they didn't have them.
What?
And I almost went bonkers.
Oh, that would not sit well.
I have to wear a mask and not have Biscoff cookies? You got to be kidding me.
Right.
So that was 2008. This day, Delta merging, announcing the merger. They didn't merge at this time, but they had announced the merger. Mm-hmm. 2008. Neil, can you believe that was 14 years ago
now? It's hard to believe.
It really is. Birthdays.
So turn and you walk away.
First ever release and hit by Loretta Lynn, who is 90 today. The queen of country music. Tammy Wynette was the first lady of country music. And Loretta Lynn is the queen of country music. Have you seen an update on her? She's 90 today. You know, she was performing not that long ago, and then she had some health issues and had to back away. I don't know if she's made a return. I don't think she has. I haven't seen anything.
Not to my knowledge.
Born in the state, 1932. She's 90. Pete Rose.
I'm going to let you know a little secret. If it wasn't for Grecian formula, they'd soon be calling me a gray-haired ball player. But gray hair's not for Pete Rose. So I started using Grecian formula.
Grecian formula.
Gambling's for Pete Rose, though.
Right, yeah.
He doesn't like gray hair, but he's okay with the gambling thing. Pete Rose, 81 here today.
81.
All-time hits leader and one of the great bowl cuts ever.
Charlie Hustle.
Speaking of Cousin Oliver from Brady Bunch.
Right.
I think they patterned his haircut after Pete Rose. Mm-hmm. 81.
She ain't got no money. Her clothes are kind of funny. Her hair is kind of wild and free. Born for love, Rose. Where my rose, there it goes.
Early 70s pop from Edison Lighthouse.
Big hit song.
And the lead singer on this song, Tony Burrows, is 80 today.
Very
you know,
nice.
He would kind of bounce around from group to group. He sang that one. He sang, Gimme Dat Ding. Remember Gimme Dat, Gimme Dat, Gimme Dat Ding, the Pipkins?
Mm-hmm.
He sang Beach Baby by First Class. Beach Baby, Beach Baby, there on the sand from July to the end of September. He also sang My Baby Loves Lovin'.
Oh.
Another early 70s hit for another group called White Plains. He just kind of bounced back and forth. He was like a hired gun.
Wow.
Really?
You need a hit?
A mercenary.
Yeah, hire him.
Yeah, so Tony Burrows, happy birthday. John Shea, he was Lex Luthor.
An astonishing debut, Superman. Well, haven't you heard? That's what they're calling you. It's international news. So, to what do I owe this honor? I came to tell you that
he was in the Dean Cain Superman, the Lois and Clark New Adventures. Yeah, the TV show, the New Adventures of Superman, Lois and Clark, the whole thing. Not as good as this. This will always be my Lex Luthor, right, Neil?
Mitch Tessbacher!
Without question.
Gene Hackman. But John Shea, who was TV's Lex Luthor, The best to him here today, because we really do appreciate what he's doing here and has been doing. He's 73. The guy that you've been mistaken for how many times now?
The big question is why we're here in the first place. You know, I've spent many a night lying in bed thinking about this kind of stuff. Life's imponderables.
You need to find yourself abroad in pronto.
Where are we in the big scheme of things?
Don't gotta be a pretty one, just grab something.
You gotta love, what's his name, Boyle.
Peter Boyle.
Frank Peter Boyle. And there is Brad Garrett, and people have mistaken you.
I guess. I don't know.
Were you on that?
We don't
Raymond
sound
show,
alike. I don't think
the Raymond Show. Brad Garrett, very right. tall,
very tall
gentleman. Mm-hmm. You know, the doorways on TV are usually lower because of the sets. They don't make them look too big. Have you ever realized that on sitcoms and television shows, especially ones that use sets on TV?
Right.
The Kramer looked like he was 7'4".
Oh, yeah.
On Seinfeld. Brad Garrett looks like he's 7'4". He can barely get through. His head's like right at the deal there. But he is 62. Rusty.
Hey, you got Pac-Man?
No.
You got Space Invaders?
Nope.
You got Asteroids?
No, but my dad does. Can't even sit on the toilet some days.
He was Clark Griswold's son. Russ. Hey, Russ.
Sure.
I think we jumped that station wagon, the family truckster, 80 yards. 80 yards. Nothing to be proud of, son. But, Anthony, you know, they had a different Rusty for every one of the vacation movies, I believe.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. So, that's Anthony cool. Michael Hall's 54. Our rapper of the day today is Da Brat.
Sure.
Da Brat is 48. And Sarah Michelle Gellar.
One girl in all the world, a chosen one, one born with a
strength and skill to hunt the vampires, to stop the spread of their evil blah, blah, blah. I've heard, okay?
What do you know about
she
this?
She was the vampire slayer. Slayed a few. I wonder what the stats are. She had a baseball card. What would her stats be as far as the number of vampires? You'd have two. You'd have, you know, ones that were slayed, ones that were just maimed.
Right.
Some of them that maybe had their powers taken away, but still lived. But are no longer vampires. Sarah Michelle Gellar, 45.
She would have been an all-star, I'm sure of it.
She's the only one. Yeah. I think, according to that guy there, there's only one slayer for every generation.
Uh-huh.
One girl is born, and she was.
She did it.
That girl.
Gone but not forgotten today, teacher Ann Sullivan. We had her mentioned earlier in a comment that you made. She did educate Helen Keller and was born on this day. The miracle worker, as she became the known.
Describe us who Helen Keller was, Neil. Not everybody knows who Helen Keller was.
Helen Keller was a, she was deaf, she was dumb, and she was blind.
And mute.
And yeah, well.
I guess she could make noises because she went, you know, she did mumble the word water eventually.
Right.
And there were a couple of movies made.
Very much so. Ann Sullivan, 1866.
Did you just say Helen Keller was dumb?
Well, that's...
That's a controversial comment.
Isn't that what mute meant at that point?
Well, yes, if we go back to that time, and again, we can't take old sensibilities and then apply our modern sensibilities to those olden times. So in
Correct.
That instance, you're right, Neil.
Yes.
Yes.
What about actor Sir John Gielgud?
Yes, it's been a distinct pleasure meeting you. Arthur, we really must be going. Thank you for a memorable afternoon. Usually one must go to a bowling alley to meet a woman of your stature.
That is lying.
It's one of the best.
From Arthur is so amazing.
It is one of the best. We don't tire of it. It's kind of like Albania. We just will never tire of it.
No. Alert the media. Next time you say something that you think is really smart and really important, I'm going to try to remember, I'll alert the media.
That's another dandy. John Gielgud was born on this day, 1904. We don't know anything about him. I like his name. Jazz musician Milton Shorty Rogers, 1924. He was the Chief Gillespie in the Heat of the Night movie opposite Sidney Poitier's Mr. Tibbs, Rod Steiger.
Ah, look. I try to run a nice, clean, safe town here. Town where a man can sneeze and not get his brains beat out. You follow me?
Yes. Why don't you tell me how you killed Mr. Colbert, and I promise you, you're gonna feel a whole lot better.
I respect Chief Gillespie because he's got a cold Dr. Pepper right there.
How about
on
that?
His desk. Who did you like better in that role? Did you like Rod Steiger or how about Carol O'Connor?
You know,
who was pretty much typecast as Archie Bunker. How good of a great job did Carol O'Connor do to break through that typecast
and transition,
and then transition into that?
He did great. Mm-hmm. They were both very good, but Rod Steiger, there was an edge to him. He was. It's a great movie from the mid '60s. And 1925 for Rod Steiger. One more, Richard Jenny, the comedian, 1957.
Gets lonely on the road, boy. You know you can tell you're getting lonely when you're sitting in your hotel going, gee, I never noticed it before, but Wilma Flintstone doesn't have a bad body. Your friends are going, you're just lonely. You're going, no, really. She's no Judy Jetson, but she's attractive.
There he is from The Tonight Show.
That's pretty good. Richard Jenny, 1957. And someone tells me my staff forgot somebody today. I don't
know. Why is
know.
That?
I don't know. It was such a short
sense.
List. Yeah, I did my Spidey
when
sense.
All I want is Party Doll.
Buddy Knox.
Buddy Knox, 1933, and his big hit, Party Doll.
Are you impressed that I knew that, Buddy Knox?
Your instincts were correct. I hope you know. On your resume, when you applied for Sidekick of the Bob Morning Show, you said you had a good knowledge of 50s and 60s oldies.
Well, you don't spend time in Slim Jim and the Beef Jerkies and not know Buddy Knox.
No, that had to be a staple.
It was.
Now.
They're all gone, but not forgotten.
Here's your way to start a Bobathon. If you'd like to start it in this manner, you could do Dixie Chicks, If I Fall, You're Going Down With Me, Judd's Give a Little Love, or Lori Morgan, What Part of No?
All ladies today, and there's a lady. It's got to be Lori Morgan.
WQPM, Princeton, WLKX, Forest Lake, KDBG, Albert, KDBG, HD1.